Number 51. Advertise to yourself.
Sports psychologist Rod Gilbert says, quote, "Losers visualize the penalties of failure, and winners visualize the rewards of success. Without advertising our goals to ourselves, we can lose sight of them altogether. Now, I'll often start the day by drawing four circles on a blank piece of paper. The circles represent my day, my month, my year, and my life. Inside each circle, I write down what I want. It can be a dollar figure, it can be anything. And the goals can change from day to day, it doesn't matter. There's no way to get this process wrong. But by writing the goals down, I'm like an airline pilot looking at my map before takeoff. I'm orienting my mind to what I'm up to in life. I'm reminding myself of what I really want. Now, when you get on a plane, I mean, would you poke your head into the cabin and say to the pilot, just take me anywhere? I mean, that's how we live our lives. That's how we live our lives when we don't make a map.
Number 52, don't stop thinking.
Motivation comes from thought. Everything we do begins with a thought. And when we quit thinking, we lose the motivation to act. We eventually slip into pessimism, and the pessimism leads to even less thinking, and so it goes. A downward spiral of negativity and passivity, feeding on each other. Pessimists think so negatively about doing the whole thing perfectly that they end up doing nothing and becoming passive. Whereas the optimist always does a little something, always takes an action, always feels like progress is being made. Pessimists continually use their imaginations to visualize worst-case scenarios, and then concluding that those scenarios are so hopeless that there's no cause for action. Therefore, pessimism always leads to passivity. Optimists agree with Colin Wilson's point of view. He said, imagination should be used not to escape from reality, but to create it. Begin the habit in yourself of saying no to negativity. When negative thoughts start their argument in your mind, which they always do, even for optimists, don't stop thinking. Real creative thinking is going to lead to optimism, and optimism is always self-motivating.
Number 53. Debate your dark side.
Negative thinking is something we all do. The difference between the person who's primarily optimistic and the person who's primarily pessimistic is that the optimist learns to become a good debater. Once you become thoroughly aware of the effectiveness of optimism in your life, you can learn to debate your pessimistic thoughts. If you catch yourself brooding, worrying, thinking pessimistically about an issue, build a case for the optimistic view. Pretend you're an attorney whose job it is to prove the pessimist in you is wrong. If you really want to open up your life, go optimistic.
Number 54. Make use of trouble.
You know, I think all of us have heard so many stories, so many incidents where bad events, looking back, in retrospect, were strokes of great fortune. A person who breaks her leg skiing, meets a doctor in the hospital, falls in love, marries him, has a happy life. What seemed horrible turns out to be unexpectedly great. We begin to see the truth in what Richard Bach says. Every problem carries a gift inside it. Now, by choosing to make use of seemingly bad events, by asking yourself, how can I use this? What might be good about this? You can get to the gift inside your problem a lot more quickly.
Number 55. Learn to brainstorm by yourself.
So, try this. Put a goal on the top of a page, and then put numbers 1 through 20 on that page and begin your brainstorming session. List 20 ideas. They don't have to be well thought out. They don't have to be reasonable. Give yourself permission to flow. Your only objective is to have 20 ideas scrawled down within a certain period of time. If you do this for 1 week, you'll end up with 100 ideas. Are they all usable? No, of course not. But who cares? When you began the process, you probably didn't have any usable ideas.
Number 56. Create your own voice.
There have been times when I've been told that I am lucky to have a good speaking voice. Many people are impressed. Sometimes I don't even use a microphone. I speak to hundreds of people in the audience, boom out to them. And, you know, people will say, boy, you've been blessed with a powerful set of vocal cords. I have to tell you, it's not true. My voice used to be no better than some feeble monotone. It really was really awful. I mean, I would talk like this.
Well, you know, my voice, I would love to see you today.
Now, look, I set about to change it. I always carry a number of cassettes in my car. I always sing along with them. I crank them up good and loud. By the way, it's best done while you're driving alone. And I sing at the top of my lungs. I make certain I do it every day, even when I don't feel like singing. See, that's the point. Don't let your feelings ruin your life. Keep thinking. Strategize. Plan. You can create anything you want. You can even create your own voice.
Number 57. Live on the frontier.
We've always had a real fascination with America's frontier days. Shows like Little House on the Prairie, movies like Dances with Wolves. I mean, it reflects a real yearning for those adventurous times. Now, what's really exciting about today is that a new frontier is here. The technological explosion, our entry into the information age, have created a situation in which employers are no longer interested in our job histories, at least it's not as much as they used to be. What are they interested in? Right now, our current capabilities. For example, let's say my company's trying to enter the Chinese market to sell its software, and you, at age 70, can speak fluent Chinese, know all about software, and have energy and zest for success. How can I afford not to hire you? Times have changed. This is the new frontier. It's all about what you can do, not about what you've done.
Number 58. Replace your habits.
Self-motivation is much more difficult to achieve when we're held back mentally by certain bad habits. But here's the catch. Bad habits can't be gotten rid of because they exist for good reasons. They're there to do something for us, even if that something ends up being self-destructive. You see, down deep, even a bad habit is trying to make us operate better. That's why bad habits have to be transformed and built upon. They can't be killed. They can't be eliminated. We have to go to the beneficial impulse that drives the habit and then build on that to make the habit grow from something bad into something good. What we then achieve is habit replacement. Now, where bad habits are concerned, replacement is the only thing that works. I've known people who quit smoking without even intending to. Maybe they took up running, some form of aerobic exercise. And soon, the breathing and relaxation they were getting from the exercise made smoking feel so bad to their bodies, they quit. They quit smoking because they'd introduced a replacement. Subconsciously, you don't even think your habit is bad because it's fulfilling a perceived need. So the way to strengthen yourself is to identify the need and build on it. Honor the need by replacing the current habit with one that's healthier and more effective for you.
Number 59. Paint your day.
Self-motivation is much more difficult to achieve when we're held back mentally by certain bad habits. When you wake up, try picturing your day as a blank artist's canvas. Ask yourself, who's the artist today? Me or blind circumstance? If you choose to be the artist, how do you want to paint your day?
Number 60. Swim laps underwater.
When Bobby Fischer prepared for his world championship chess match with Boris Spassky, he prepared by swimming laps underwater every day. He knew that as the chess matches wore on into the late hours, the player with the most oxygen going to his brain would have the mental advantage. So he built his brain by building his lungs. Sometimes all you need is the air that you breathe just to motivate yourself. Going for a run or a walk or simply deep breathing gives the brain the fuel it feeds on, and motivation comes easy.
Number 61. Get some coaching.
After a disappointing round on the golf course, Jack Nicklaus would often take a golf lesson. When I first heard about this, I said to myself, who could give Jack Nicklaus a lesson in golf? But that was before I ever really understood the value of coaching. And then a young business consultant named Steve Hardison taught me something. Nicklaus takes a lesson, not because his coach is a better player, but because his coach can stand back from Nicklaus and see his moves objectively. So, if coaching is appropriate for your golf or tennis game, it could also be appropriate for the game of life. Ask someone you admire to be honest with you and coach you for a while. Let them tell you what they see. It's a courageous thing to do, and it'll always lead to growth.
Number 62. Leave home.
Once when Steve Hardison and I were discussing a few of my old habits that were holding me back from realizing my business goals, I finally said to him, but why? Why do I do those things? I mean, if I know they hold me back, why do I continue to do them? And he said, you do them because they feel like home. When you do those things, you do them because that's what you're comfortable doing. And so you make yourself right at home doing them. As they say, there's no place like home. Home can be an ugly place if it's not kept up and consciously made beautiful. Home can be a dark, damp prison, smelling of bad habits and laziness. But we think we're safe there. However, when we inspect the worn-out house more closely, we can see that the safety we think we're experiencing is pure self-limitation. Now, you might want to identify the habits that keep you trapped. Identify what you've decided is your final personality, for example. Understand that it might be a hasty construction built only to keep you safe from risk and growth. See, once you've done that, you can leave. You can leave home. You can get the blueprints out, and you can create a home you really want.
Number 63. Perform rituals.
As you listen to these various ways to motivate yourself, you might have noticed that action is often the key. Doing something is what leads to doing something. It's the law of the universe. An object in motion stays in motion. My own ritual for jump-starting the brain is walking. Many times in my life, I've had a problem that seems so overwhelming. It seemed too overwhelming to even do anything about. But my ritual is to take the problem out for a long, long walk. Time and time again, during the course of the walks, something comes out of nowhere. Some idea for an action that would solve the problem. So try making up a ritual for yourself, anything that will act as a self-starter. Rituals will have you in action before you feel like getting into action. Rituals always override your built-in laziness. They always get you motivated in a predictable, controllable way.
Number 64. Start your life over.
If you catch yourself thinking that you're too old to do something you want to do, please recognize that you're now listening to the pessimistic voice inside of you. It's the voice of a liar. Talk back. Remind the voice of all the people in life who've started their lives over again at any age they wanted to. John Houseman, the Emmy Award-winning actor in The Paper Chase, he started acting professionally when he was 73 years old. Don't listen to the voice inside. You can start your life over right now.
Number 65. Keep all your promises.
One way I used to motivate myself was to make some unreasonable promise. To go to someone I cared about, either personally or professionally, and promise something really big. Something that'll take all the effort and creativity I had to make it happen. But, you know, there were times when those huge promises I made weren't kept, and I realized over the years it's not really an intelligent way to self-motivate. Today I'll make commitments to other people, but they're commitments that I know I can keep. But to motivate myself, I've replaced promising others with setting goals inside myself. The power of goals is that they can be outrageous, they can be huge, and they can free up really wild possibility thinking. Without setting large goals internally, what I tend to do is just live a life of things that I think I have to do.
Number 66. Give some luck away.
Basketball coach John Wooden used to say, "You cannot live a perfect day without doing something for someone who will never be able to repay you." I agree with that. And there's a way to make sure you can't be repaid. That's doing something for someone who won't even know who did it. Now this gets into a theory I've had all my life, and that is, you can create luck. You can create luck in your life by giving it away. See if you can't begin creating your own luck.
Number 67. Draw your universe.
If you use my 4-minute four-circle goal setting system that I talked about earlier, you can create your own goal-directed universe. Try this. After you wake up in the morning, wipe the sleep from your eyes, sit down with a pad of paper, and draw 4 circles. Now these are your own planets. Label the first circle, lifelong dream. Your lifelong dream might be to save, $500,000 for your retirement years. So put that number in your life circle. Then look at the next planet in your solar system, circle 2. That circle you're going to label my year. What do you need to save in the next 12 months in order to be on course to hit your life savings goal? Now that you've got your first 2 circles filled with a number, move to the 3rd circle, my month. What would you have to save each month to hit your year's goal? Then put that number down and go to the final circle, my day. What would you need to do today that if you repeated it every day would ensure a successful month? You can't help but see that each circle, if done successfully, guarantees the success of the next circle. If you hit your daily goal every day, your monthly goal is automatically hit. In fact, you don't even have to worry about it. And if your monthly goal is reached, the yearly goal has to happen. It's mathematical. And if your yearly goals are hit, the lifelong goal cannot not be reached. Then you can see, proven for you, that your life and your day are the same thing. You can create your own universe any way you like. The system itself is not the motivator. Your understanding of your responsibility to be a creative planner, that's what the motivator is.
Number 68. Get up a game.
If you're really interested in motivation, there's nothing more fun than competition. Competition has a bad name these days. It shouldn't. It teaches you the valuable lesson that no matter how good you are, there's always somebody better than you. That's a lesson in humility everybody needs. And it teaches you that by trying to beat somebody else, you reach for more inside of you. Trying to beat somebody else puts the game back into life. And if it's done optimistically, it gives energy to both competitors. It teaches sportsmanship. And it gives you a benchmark for measuring your own growth. So in your life, let the games begin. Have fun winning and losing. And when someone has insulted you or underrated you, don't just get even, get better. Use your victory, not to hurt them, but to create you.
Number 69, turn your mother down.
In Dr. Martin Seligman's studies of optimism and pessimism, he found out a remarkable fact. We first learn how to explain the world to ourselves from our parents, and more specifically, our mothers. I'm quoting from Dr. Seligman. Young children listen to what their primary caretaker, usually the mother, says about causes, and they tend to make this style their own. If the child has an optimistic mother, this is great, but it can be a disaster for the child if the child has a pessimistic mother. Fortunately, Seligman's studies show that the disaster only needs to be temporary, that optimism can be learned at any age. Now, it's not self-motivating to blame mom if you find yourself to be a pessimist. Blaming someone never self-motivates because it strengthens the belief that your life is being shaped by forces outside yourself. Love your mom. She learned her pessimism from her mother. But change yourself.
Number 70. Face the sun.
Helen Keller wrote, "When you face the sun, the shadows always fall behind you." This was Helen Keller's poetic way of recommending optimistic thinking. What you look at, what you face, grows in your life. What you ignore falls behind you. But if you turn and look only at the shadows, they become your life.
Number 71. Look inside.
Most of us wait to find out who we are from impressions and opinions we get from other people. "Oh, do you really think I'm good at that?" we ask. Somebody compliments us. If we're persuaded that they're being honest and have made a good case, we might alter our self-image upward. That's great, getting feedback from others, especially positive feedback. But your journey should be internal. Travel deeper and deeper inside to find out your own potential. Your potential is your true identity. It only waits for self-motivation to come alive.
Number 72. Go to war.
Anthony Burgess was 40 when he learned he had a brain tumor that would kill him within a year. He was completely broke, and he didn't have anything to leave behind for his wife, Lynn, who was soon to be a widow. Burgess had never been a professional novelist in the past, but he always knew it was inside him to be a writer. So, for the sole purpose of leaving behind royalties for his wife, he put a piece of paper into the typewriter, and he began writing. He had no certainty that he'd ever even be published, but he couldn't think of anything else to do. Burgess wrote energetically. He finished 5.5 novels before that year was through. But he didn't die. His cancer had gone into remission, and then it disappeared altogether. In his long and full life, Anthony Burgess wrote more than 70 books. Without the death sentence from cancer, he might not have written anything. You know, it's funny, but research shows that during times of war, suicide rates go down. We don't have to wait for something tragic. We don't have to wait for a war to attack us from without. We can get the same vitality by challenging ourselves from within. Joan of Arc said, "All battles are first won or lost in the mind." A useful exercise for self-motivation might be this. Ask yourself, what would you do if you had Anthony Burgess's original predicament? If I had just a year to live, how would I live differently? What exactly would I do? That question can inspire surprising thoughts. It can reveal skills inside you that you're not using today.
Number 73. Make small change.
When I first began working on self-motivation a long time ago, I'd go through all kinds of emotional mood swings. I'd get really high on the idea of who I could be. I'd set out to change myself overnight. And then my old habits would pull me right back to who I used to be. Then I'd become demoralized. Later in my life, I finally caught on to the idea that great things are often created slowly. Great paintings, great buildings. So why couldn't great people be created slowly? So if you're willing to see yourself as a masterpiece in progress, then you'll love small changes. You'll be excited by a tiny thing you did differently today. If you want a stronger body and you took the stairs instead of the elevator, celebrate. You're moving in the direction of self-creation.
Number 74. Do something badly.
Sometimes we don't do things because we're not sure we can do them well. We feel we're not in the mood or at the right energy level to do the task we have to, so we put it off or wait for inspiration to arrive. We're so afraid to do things until we're sure we'll do them well, we don't do anything. This is the source of all writer's block, by the way. This tendency led G.K. Chesterton to say, "If a thing is worth doing, it's worth doing badly." If you're not motivated to do something you know you need to do, just decide to do it badly. Add a little self-deprecating humor. Be comically bad at what you're doing, and then enjoy what happens to you once you're in the process.
Number 75. Be a visioneer.
A few years ago, I began working with motivational speaker and author Dr. Dennis Deaton, and he allowed me to learn and even teach his principles of visioneering, which he defines as engineering dreams into reality by the use of active mental imaging. The principle is this: you can't do anything that you can't picture yourself doing. Visioneering is just another word for picturing yourself. Once you make the picturing process conscious and deliberate, you begin to create the self you want to be.
Number 76. Shine your light.
Chesterton used to say that taking things lightly was the most spiritually advanced thing you could do to improve your effectiveness in life. After all, said Chesterton, it's because God's angels take themselves so lightly that they're able to fly. And if his angels take themselves that lightly, imagine how much more lightly he takes himself. Your own motivational level will always be lifted with humor. Anytime you're stuck, ask yourself to take things lightly. Ask yourself to come up with some funny solutions. Laughter will destroy all limits to your thinking. When you're laughing, you're open to anything.
Number 77. Be a list writer.
Never hesitate to sit down with yourself and make lists. The more you write down what it is you want, the more you can dictate your own future. A goal gains power when you write it down, and it gains more power every time you write it down. Now, we're always looking for motivation in what others have written. But if you become a creative list maker, you'll learn how to motivate yourself by what you've written.
Number 78. Be the change.
Don't try to change other people. It doesn't work. You'll waste your life trying. We talk to our children for hours about how we think they should change. But children don't learn from what we say. They learn from what we do. By being what you want them to be, you can lead by inspiration. What you tell people to do often goes right by them. Who you are doesn't. The change in you is contagious. When you yourself change, watch how the people around you change.
Number 79. See the gold.
In every circumstance, we can look for the gold or we can look for the filth. And what we look for, we'll find. Opportunities are like those subatomic quantum particles that come into existence only when they're seen by an observer. Your opportunities will multiply when and only when you choose to see them.
Number 80. Simplify.
The great Green Bay Packer football coach Vince Lombardi was once asked why his world championship team, which had so many multi-talented players, ran such a basic and simple set of plays. It's hard to be aggressive, he answered, when you're confused. When you simplify your life, it gathers energy.
Number 81. Pin life down.
Recently, I was working with car dealer Henry Brown of Brown & Brown Nissan, which is a nationally celebrated Nissan dealership, and he was telling me a story about his son, a high school wrestler. Now, his boy had been getting only fair results in wrestling this year, so Henry went and talked to him, and he learned that he entered each match completely prepared to counter anything his opponent tried. And no matter how gifted Henry's son was at countering moves, countering was still countering. So finally, Henry suggested to his son that he try entering a wrestling match with a plan, a series of moves that he would initiate no matter what his opponent tried. And the boy agreed, and the results were remarkable. He began winning match after match, pinning opponent after opponent. The young wrestler's goal had always been to win. He didn't have a problem setting big goals. But as Nathaniel Brandon says, a goal without an action plan is a daydream. Before any adventure, take time to plan. Let life respond to you. If you're making all the first moves, you'll be surprised at how often you can pin life down.
Number 82. Strengthen your purpose.
Energy comes from purpose. If the left side of the brain tells the right side that there's a sufficient crisis, the right side sends energy, and sometimes superhuman energy. And that's why there's such a difference between people who set and achieve goals all day and people who just do whatever comes up, whatever they feel like doing. To the first person, there's always added purpose. To the other, There is boredom and confusion, the two greatest robbers of energy. Because we are totally responsible for our own sense of purpose, that also means that we're totally responsible for the energy in our lives.
Number 83. Go on a news fast.
I first heard the phrase news fast from Dr. Andrew Weil. Now, he actually tells his patients to stop watching the news for a few weeks, and he gets great results. They sleep better, their whole systems are better. Now, my own recommendation for a news fast has to do with self-motivation. If you go for periods of time without listening to or reading the news, you'll notice an upswing in your optimism about life. You'll really feel a lift in energy. Your mind is yours to fill with whatever you want. The more you accept the responsibility of filling it, the easier it'll be to build an optimistic and effective mindset.
Number 84. Choose an action.
When you find yourself worrying about something, always ask yourself an action question. What can I do about this right now? And then do something. Any small thing. Anything that worries you should be acted on, not just thought about. Even small actions start to chase away your fears and put you back in control of creating what you want.
Number 85, be a thinker.
I was doing some seminars for a large office company in Las Vegas, and the president told me something that was really interesting. He said he had basically two kinds of people working for him, the whiners and the thinkers. The whiners were often very smart, dedicated employees who worked long hours, but when they came into the president's office, it was always to complain. And here's what he said. They're great at finding fault with other managers and telling me what's wrong with our systems, but they're a drain on me because they're so negative I end up trying to make them feel better, and after that I'm depressed. Now the thinkers, on the other hand, had a different way of coming into the office with problems. Here's what he said about them. The thinkers come to me with ideas. They see the same problems that the whiners see, but they've already thought about possible solutions. When you're committed to self-motivation, you'll follow into the realm of the thinker, naturally. You'll be more valuable to your organization and to yourself.
Number 86, choose enjoyment.
There's a huge difference between pleasure and enjoyment. And when we're absolutely clear about the difference, we can grow much faster toward who we want to be. What we do for pleasure, for example, routine sex, eating, drinking, all kinds of short-term stuff, that's different than what we do for enjoyment. Enjoyment always involves the use of a skill, and it always involves facing a challenge. Things like sailing, gardening, golfing, any kind of activity like that, involving skills, meeting a challenge, result in enjoyment. People who get clear on the difference begin to know how to consciously put more enjoyment into their lives.
Number 87, read mystery novels.
The person with the highest IQ ever measured, Marilyn Vos Savant, recommends mystery novels as brain builders. Here's what she says. Not only is this exercise fun, but it's good for you. I'm not talking about violent thrillers or police procedural novels, but instead, I'm directing you to those elegant, clue-filled, intelligent mysteries solved by drawing conclusions, not guns. Unquote. Marilyn Vos Savant believes strongly that the brain can be built as surely and as quickly as the muscles of the body. So the next time you feel like curling up with a good mystery, don't feel guilty. You might be doing the most productive thing you've done all day.
Number 88, express your thoughts.
Go ahead and feel your feelings. But when it's time to talk, be thoughtful and express your thoughts.
Number 89, use your weaknesses.
Make a list of your strengths and your weaknesses on separate pieces of paper. Place the list of strengths somewhere where you'll see it again, because just looking at it will always pick you up. Now, look at your list of so-called weaknesses and study them for a while. Stay with it until you feel no shame or guilt about them. Allow them to become interesting characteristics instead of anything negative. Ask yourself how each characteristic could be useful to you. When Arnold Schwarzenegger became a professional actor, he had a weakness, his thick Austrian accent. It wasn't long, however, before Arnold incorporated his accent into the charm of his action hero persona on the screen, and a former weakness became a strength. His accent became an identifying part of his characters, and people everywhere were imitating it. Now, there isn't anything on your weakness list that can't be a strength for you if you think about it long enough.
Number 90. Try becoming your problem.
Whatever type of problem you're facing, the most self-motivational exercise I know of is to immediately say to yourself, I'm the problem. Because once you see yourself as the problem, you can see yourself as the solution. By seeing ourselves as victims of our problems, we lose the power to solve them. To activate the power inside ourselves, we need to take only two essential steps. One, own the problem, and two, create the solution.
Number 91, inflate your goal.
There is another self-motivator that must be used as an intellectual tool only. Take a certain goal of yours and double it, or triple it, or multiply it by 10, and then ask yourself, quite seriously, what would you have to do to achieve that new goal? Now, I've often used this method for self-motivation with myself. If I have a goal of signing, say, 2 seminar contracts in the next 3 weeks, I'll often get out a pad of paper and ask, how would I get 10 contracts signed in 3 weeks? It always puts me at a different level of thinking. And because I'm solving the problem of 10, I always get at least 2. Remember, it's just a self-contained game, not a promise to anybody else. But it is a game that's fun to play. Why? Because it works.
Number 92. Come to your own rescue.
There are two ideas that are contained in the work of psychotherapists Nathaniel and Devers Brandon that have helped me incredibly. Here's the first one. You can't leave a place you've never been. And here's the other one. No one is coming. I used to believe I could run from all my frightening thoughts and beliefs about myself. But all that ever did was create deeper internal fears and conflicts. What I really needed was to get all my fears into the sunshine and demystify them. Once I systematically began to do that, I was able to dismantle the fears like a bomb squad does to a bomb. Acceptance and full consciousness of those fears was the place I'd never been. Once I was in that place, I could leave. Now, the notion that no one's coming was more terrifying. That idea sounded too much like abandonment. Many of us, even as grown-ups, devise very elaborate and subtle variations of the theme, I want my mommy. The Brandons showed me that I could be much happier, much more effective, if I valued independence and self-responsibility above dependency on someone else. So when you accept the idea that no one's coming, it's actually a very powerful moment, because it means that you're enough. You can handle your problems yourself. You can grow. You can get strong. You can generate your own happiness. And paradoxically, from that position of independence, truly great relationships can be built, because they're not based on dependency. They're not based on fear. They're based on mutual independence and love. See how much better you are at self-motivation once you've begun to celebrate the news that you're enough.
Number 93. Push your own buttons.
Motivation never has to be accidental. Any form of motivation. A lot of people like to motivate themselves musically, for example. But you don't have to wait for hours until a certain song comes on the radio that picks up your spirits. You can control what songs you hear. If there's certain songs that always lift you up, create a greatest motivational hits tape for yourself. You've got much more control over your environment than you've ever realized. Learn how to push your own buttons.
Number 94. Strengthen your rehearsal.
The harder you are on yourself, the easier life is on you. There isn't anything life can challenge you with that you can't challenge yourself with in advance. You can set yourself up to succeed. If you have to make a presentation in front of someone who scares you, you can always rehearse it first in front of someone who scares you more. If you've got something hard to do and you're hesitant to do it, pick out something even harder and do that first. Watch what it does to your self-motivation going into the real challenge.
Number 95. Improve your vision.
Robert Fritz said, "It's not what a vision is. It's what a vision does." So what does your vision do? Does it give you energy? Does it make you smile? When you're tired, does it take you that extra mile? A vision should be judged by these criteria. The criteria of power and effectiveness. In other words, what does it do? What do you want to bring into being? If your vision isn't giving you energy, then picture another one. Keep at it until you develop a vision that's so colorful and so clear it puts you in action just to think about it.
Number 96. Build your power base.
The more awake you are, the more conscious you are, and the more you pay attention to how your own efforts at self-motivation are succeeding, the more powerful you'll become. Your knowledge of self-motivation is power in and of itself. Respect your knowledge and build on it.
Number 97. Link truth to beauty.
To me, the best case for honesty is how beautiful it is, how clean and clear it makes the journey from current reality to the dream. Truth leads you to a more confident level in your relationships with others and with yourself. It diminishes fear. It increases your sense of personal mastery. Lies, half-truths, they'll always weigh you down, whereas truth will clear up your thinking and give you the energy and clarity needed for self-motivation.
Number 98. Take no for a question.
Ask the universe for what you want. Don't take no for an answer. Take no for a question. When you ask for something and it's denied to you, imagine that the no you heard is really the question. Can't you be more creative than that? Never accept no at face value. Let rejection motivate you to get more creative.
Number 99. Walk with love and death.
Whenever I need to get through something, face something, or create a courageous kind of action plan, I always take long walks. When I walk long and far enough, a solution always appears. I eventually get oriented to the most creative course of action. Andrew Weil, in his book Spontaneous Healing, says, "When you walk, the movement of your limbs is cross-patterned. The right leg and left arm move forward at the same time, then the left leg and right arm. This type of movement generates electrical activity in the brain that has a harmonizing influence on the central nervous system, a special benefit of walking that you don't necessarily get from other kinds of exercise. I call it a walk with love because love and fear are opposites. Most people think love and hate are opposites, but they're not. The ultimate creativity occurs from a spirit of love. Love is always creative, and fear is always destructive. And I call it a walk with death, because it's only the acceptance and awareness of my own death that gives my life the clarity it needs to be exciting. Take your own challenges out for a walk. Feel your self-motivation growing inside you. Feel the electricity in your brain. Feel it harmonize with your central nervous system. You'll soon know for a fact that you do have what it takes. You can walk courage into existence.
Number 100. Buy yourself flowers.
Buy yourself flowers, and every time you look at them, let them remind you of how colorful your future is going to be, how fresh your thoughts are, how easy it is for you to honor yourself, how much power you have to make your environment beautiful, and how sweet the smell of the universe can be.
This has been a HighBridge audio presentation.